welcome to Oasis Church, NJ.com. We're a contemporary Christian church with two locations in New Jersey. We meet Sundays 10 a.m. at the Regal Hadley Cinema Theater in South Plainfield, and Sundays 11 a.m. at the Grand Centurions in Clark. I hope you enjoy our podcast.
And isn't it true, though? I mean, anybody can make a baby, but not everybody could be a parent. And welcome to Parenting 101, 911. 911. You know, we all need a little help as parents. And even if you're not a parent, we're going to define this series a little differently. I want to encourage you right now, first off, if you had parents and they weren't the best parents out there, I want to encourage you to know we have this amazing promise from God found in Psalm 27:10. It says, though my mom and dad forsake me, look at those brats, though my mom and dad forsake me, the Lord says, I will receive you. See that promise? What an amazing God we have. And I know some of us are a little suffering in that area. Maybe we were abused. Maybe we were mistreated in some way by our parents. And some of us, you know, thank God for grandparents. You know, some of us weren't even raised by a mom and dad. And the idea of a parent, and just by way of introduction, a lot of you know this, but I actually was a parent education teacher through the state of New Jersey for a number of years. Anybody going through the court system would have to go through me. Aren't they lucky? to talk about the parenting, that you know, what is parenting, how to be a better parent. And I'm not that great a parent, as my kids who are here will probably attest, and we'll get into that. But that's the whole point of this series, is how to become better parents. And if you don't have kids, don't tune out, because this series is all about you too, because there's so much we're going to be talking about in the next 4 weeks. We're just laying out the fundamental groundwork now of the series. There's things that we're going to be talking about, how to, you know, for future parents, how to deal with issues. And, you know, the whole idea of parenting, we're going to expand this a little bit based on the biblical model. I don't know if you know this or not, but in scriptural times, when you talked about a family, it was more than just a nuclear family. It included moms and dads and grandparents and uncles and aunts. Yeah, the crazy uncle that you don't want to talk about. All those people were included, and all the different people in that family were part of the extended family. When the Philippian jailer became a Christian, it says he and his whole household was saved, and that even included the slaves could be part of the family. It's a whole idea. And in the parenting process, many of us in this day and age, many of us have been raised by the next definition we're going to give of being a parent, and you can just go there right now. Many of us were really parented by more than just our moms and dads. Actually, this is parenting. This is what you'll get in our parent education manual, is that you know, parenting is supporting and uplifting the physical, emotional, spiritual. Hey, they didn't put financial in there. What happened? Boy, kids soak you dry, don't they? But the financial and the spiritual well-being of the child. Notice that it doesn't just say a mom and dad. It could be a grandparent. You could be a foster parent. You're parenting, right? The general sense of the word parent, even in a church is a family, and there's parenting going on here. I get people, you know, we are a church family. Many of us, aren't we all just kids inside? Aren't we all really? I mean, we really are. And we have a heavenly daddy who loves us so much and is there for us. And the idea of parenting in this series is going to envelop not just a mom and dad thing, but we'll be doing that, but also the idea that parenting can be expanded into any realm that we're talking about here. I want you to take a moment and think about who is it, because I had people speak into my life. I thank God for my godly grandmom. The most spiritual influence I had in my life was Nanny, my Italian grandmom, and she used to talk to me about Jesus. And she used to talk to me about how, you know, I need to pray and I need to trust God. And I got that from my grandma. She parented me in that way. And I also thank God for my spiritual father, you know, my people in the church who discipled me. In fact, discipleship is that like parenting, who took me by the arm when I was down and out, had nowhere to go, who gave me my first chance to talk and in front of people, and I was petrified and would encourage me and would nag me almost like a parent. Get out to church, you know. You can't be on your own. You can't be that secret Christian out there. You can't be the Lone Ranger. And they would actually encourage me to do this. And in that sense, they're parents. So I want you to think about what person in your life does God want you to, you know, speak life into? What person out there in life that God wants to use you to help them in this journey called life? This is the whole idea of parenting. And yes, we're going to be talking about moms and dads, but we'll be talking about along the way how to deal with crazy parents. How many of us have crazy parents? Anybody? How many is a crazy parent? Hello? All right, we have some people. Okay, we could go there. That's good. And we're going to be talking about the process. It's just amazing. You know, parenting is an amazing process, but it's not just an act. That says act, but actually it's a as we'll get into, a process. And here's really what makes, today we're going to talk about the foundation, laying the foundation for this 4 weeks. What makes a godly parent? And here in the next thing is this, is that basically our job as parents, and I'm defining that in all general way, our job is to take someone who is totally dependent on you. And isn't it true, you know, you have kids who are totally dependent on you, right? And some of us have like 40-year-old kids that are totally dependent on us still, right? And the idea is to take that total dependence on you and gradually, see that process? Gradually turn them to the point where they're going to be totally dependent on God as mature people. Now, that process, each person could take a different form. And it doesn't have to be necessarily at 18. I know a lot of people used to, when I was in family court, they're dancing in the, you know, because, yeah, 18, man. The kids are 18. I'm free. Woo! I can do anything I want. Yeah, I'm going to do this in my room over here. Oh, yeah, my man cave will be where the kid used to be, right here. The kid goes to college and he can't get a job again. He's back home, you know. Does parenting really ever end? No. And I find it really interesting, you know. I remember becoming a parent. I was so petrified. Do you have any petrified parents out here? And I was petrified of being a parent. Forget that I was a petrified parent. I was even petrified of being a parent. And it was like, I don't want to be a parent. I don't know how to take care of a kid. I can't take care of myself. I was just being honest. But I remember the first night you bring the baby home and you just smell that baby skin. Don't you love the smell of baby skin? Those of you that can remember, it's like, it's just like so amazing. And the hair after a bath and so forth. And it's just a beautiful thing. I remember some of the memories I have of my kids reading something like Goodnight Moon. How many have heard of Goodnight Moon? I love the Goodnight Moon. In the great green room, there was a telephone, a red balloon, and all that jazz. The mush, the little, you know, woman whispering hush and all that. And one other book I liked, and I actually, preparing for this, I actually read it, and I got teary-eyed. And it was this. It was I'll Love You Forever. How many heard of that book, I'll Love You Forever? And I love you for it. What an amazing book. And it really speaks home to what we're talking about in parenting. How I'll love you forever. Can you help me with this, will you? I'll love you forever. Like you for always. My baby you'll be. And it's a cute little story. And, I'm a big guy and a rough guy, you know. And I'm reading the story to my kid. I remember reading the story to my kid. You know, what kind of books is my wife getting here with these kids, you know, like these crazy. So I'm reading it, and like by the end of the story, I'm in tears. I'm like broken because the story is about this little boy that the woman takes home, the mom, and she's like loving him and takes care of him. And as time goes on, she's still taking care of him. And it gets, he gets older, and then she gets older. And then at the end of the book, the child is doing the same exact things for the parent that the parent did for the child. And all of a sudden, there's a reversal that went on over time. And what a beautiful picture this is because, you know, parenting, some of you right now are in a position, not all of you, but some of you are in a position of parenting your parents. The role reversal has taken place. Am I talking to someone? Where your parents could be a certain age and you're responsible for them. And it's almost like you're making the decisions now, and you're the parent now. And it was such a beautiful story. So I want to expand. The reason I brought that up is I want to expand this whole idea of parenting, that it is biological, but not just biological. It's including all realms. And you can learn the principles that we're going to share here. You can apply to all of your relationships, not just to the father-son relationship or daughter relationship. And speaking of sons, you know, my son Jesse is getting married. He's getting married in 6 days. Yeah. To Brooke. And Brookie, where's Brookie? Is she here? She's teaching the kids right now. And I remember Jesse when he was like 2 years old, his main squeeze was teddy bears. You know, I should have something up there. Wait, there he is. No, that's not. Whatever. I had a different picture of him holding teddy bears, but now he's holding Brooke. That's his main squeeze now. There he is there. And now his main squeeze is Brooke. There he is there. But we're gonna start off with our key verse. This is going to be our key verse for our series. And it's this. And I know you guys know this and been there probably a number of times. But train up a child in the way he should go. And when he or she is older, he will not turn from it. And the whole idea, we're going to share just some general principles as the foundation of this whole series. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about this series because, you know, isn't it amazing you have to keep relearning things over and over again? You may think that, yeah, I got it all covered. I'm awesome. Hey, I'm a parent education teacher. Big deal. It's like you constantly have to relearn things in life so much. But the first thing I want to say is, and I love the sound of babies, so that doesn't bother me at all. I love baby sounds. And the first point I want to make is that parenting is a long-term investment. And if you have your bulletin, your message guide, you can follow that along. It's in there. You can take notes. It's in there. It's a long-term investment. And so many times I find this in life is that we're so quick to bail out on our kids. I saw that in family court. We had people who would take their kids, I can't handle them. I don't want this monstrosity. Get this thing away from me. Dyfus, help! Dyfus, please save me. Calgon, take me away. Somebody take me away. Or take this kid away. You know, I drove my parents. My parents would always threaten me with institution. In other words, put me in a way, an institution. I'm not even kidding about that. Be good, I'm going to call the doctor. It's a long-term thing. The whole idea, when you're training a child up, we're going to get into the word training. That word train there literally means in the Greek, in the Hebrew, if you go back to it, it means to dedicate. It means that you are putting your all into. It means that you're pouring your whole life into, your whole energy, your whole heart, everything you have, you're pouring into this person and training them in a way. And that takes hard work, doesn't it? Parenting is hard, isn't it? Amen? It's a hard thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's not for sissies, wimps. It's not for people. It's not for cowards, because it is tough. And you're going to want to give up at times. There are so many times in your parenting process where you go, I can't handle this kid because they're driving me crazy. It's a long-term investment. Think of it like this. You know, in 2007, the stock market before it crashed was 14,000, right? The stocks and many people after the crash, it went down to 6,000 something. Many people were panicking. They're going, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? We have to sell off our stock. Not that a lot of us have stock. I mean, I didn't. But the point is that there was a panic that occurred and a bailing out that occurred, a thing where I just can't handle it anymore. And it was a bailout. And you're giving up on kids. And I saw that in family court where parents would come and just sit and try to wipe their hands clean. And, you know, it's an amazing thing but it's for the long haul, many amazing turnarounds can happen. What happened in 2000? Now the stock market is 17,000. If they have held on to that, they would have gained, right, from where they were back in 2007. My whole point to saying this is that you never know about your child, what could happen to it. Because you could do, you know, you could do all the best things out there. You could do the right things, and your child can still turn out wrong. That's scary, isn't it? But God is the God of the harvest. And it takes time. We want things now in America, don't we? We want instant perfection of a kid. We want the perfect relationship, the perfect, you know, kid, the perfect little kid. And it just doesn't happen like that. It takes time, and it's a process. It's for the long haul. And I remember, when my kid, you just saw that picture in there. When my kids were, you know, they're dependent on you. My kids were 2 and 3, and it was 3 and 1 or something like that. There's a picture of me holding them both up with arms like there you are. That's Jesse in the yellow and Timmy in the blue right there. And there I am with the crazy long hair. That was a mullet, by the way. I see some of you still have them. But yeah, Jesse from Full House, I modeled after him. Yeah, right. You know, life goes by so quickly. Our kids grow up so quickly. You know, they were totally dependent on me at that time. And now, 20 years or so later, there's another picture of me. They're holding me up. There they are there. They're like big, you know, bulking kids right there, holding Dad up like that. And it's a process. Parenting is a process. But I want to encourage you, keep the door open. You know, there might come a time in your life when you can apply this to any relationship too, by the way. There may be a time in your life where you think that this relationship, this parenting situation, there's no way I could ever succeed in parenting. And some of you parents right now may be feeling a little guilty. You may be wondering, what in the world did I do? How did I mess up so badly? Hold on. You know, you can't sow and eat at the same time. You know, don't make permanent decisions in temporary circumstances. A lot of us try to make permanent decisions when there's a temporary circumstance going on. You may have been a difficult situation. Some of my kids, and even myself included, we go through life and it could be difficult times, but leave the door open for change. I love this verse in Luke 15:20, where it's the prodigal son and the heavenly father. What a picture of God's heart right here. What a picture that we have of a parent. The father, the son wanted his inheritance. You know, you weren't supposed to get the inheritance until your father croaked, and he didn't croak, but the son came and said, Dad, I want my stuff. Give me my money. I'm out of here. I'm gone. That father could have given up on his son. He could have washed his hands and said, you know what? I'm over this. And there's parents today that haven't spoken to their kids in dozens of years. And in my own family, there's some in my own extended family that haven't spoken to their kid in many years because they've given up. And look at the heart of the Heavenly Father, because this is actually a parable of Jesus, but he's sharing what the heart of God looks like. And it says, I love this because this is the gospel right here, where this kid was a long way off. He was screwing around. He was whoring around. He wasted his whole inheritance, probably money the father could have used. He wasted everything. He was down to the pigs. He had nothing to eat, and he lived the sinful lifestyle. And yet, it says here that while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and was waiting for him and looking for him. You see that heart of God? You see how God, he never closes the door. You may only be open a crack. Only keep that door open a crack. But if you're going through a time, and you will probably go through difficult times as parents, or maybe you've been there, you know what I'm talking about, where keep that door open for reconciliation. Keep that door open for growth. Because remember, your job, your primary priority, it's desperate. Your job is to grow them gradually out of dependence on you to total reliance on God. And when they're out of the home, you know, it's so scary because you don't even have any influence on them at all. But then you have to entrust your heart and your burden. And I weep for parents. I weep for for those parents who come to me and say, my kids are so far gone, and all they can do is cry. And we get down on our knees and we pray and we trust God. The heart of God has a way of turning hearts toward him. Leave that crack open. It's a long-term investment. When you're in a position, don't base your decision on these temporary circumstances. It's a long-term commitment. It takes hard work. That's what training is all about, right? It takes a lifetime of investment. And things turn around. Thank God, you know, my parents didn't give up on me. They could have very well given up on me. Thank God our Heavenly Father didn't give up on us. Keep the door open. Remember, it's a long-term investment. Do not give up the ship, but maintain. Hold on to that stock. That very stock that you think may be worthless could be turn around and you know, benefits. Next thing is this. It says, second thing is a good parent identifies, this is important because identifies and supports the gifts and the calling of each individual child. So he's saying here in this verse, train up a child in the way he should go. In the way he should go, not in the way you want him to go. Because this is a very difficult thing. And what he's saying is not just, yeah, you want to train him up in the ways of the Lord. That is, you know, he's saying that. But he's also saying this. He's saying, train up the child in the way, identify where his gift areas are. Identify what his area of excellence is. Many times we try to live vicariously through our kids. Or it might not, if it's a different relationship, we try to live through them and put our wants, our needs, our desires onto them and pour it onto them. You're going to law school because I never went to college and I want to be a lawyer, but I can't be a lawyer, so you're going to be a lawyer and you're going to law school and that's that. And that calling, all that kid wants to do is play in a rock band, you know, because that's his gift, that's his heart passion, that's his calling. This is what the scripture is teaching. So a lot of us, what we're doing is we're taking, putting our own wants, our own needs onto them and then putting them in this little box. And what you do there is you cause dissension and you cause a lot of pain on that child. I can't, the endless number of anxious kids in this world, you, parents, man, they just want, we want our kids because we want our kids to succeed, and we push them in education, we push them in sports, we take them out to Little League, and if they don't excel, we get upset with them because they're not excelling, and we want them to be the best, and we take them to the best schools, and we try to get them to read at age 3 because we want them to do this, and we want them to do that, and this, and that, and that might not be their calling in a certain area, and what happens is you're putting them in your little box instead of identifying. Your job as a coach, in a sense, is to identify where their talent area is and to allow them, give them the ability to succeed, give them the ability to see their vision and to go with it. Every week I get up here and I say, that's why I say this. I say, you know what? All of us have been called by God for something special. I really believe that. I don't just say it to say it every week. I'm saying it every week so that you eventually believe it too. That God has something special. He's calling you to something special. You're special. And I'm not talking about the special bus, you know. You're special, and God wants to take you and use you in an amazing way, a unique way that you're uniquely gifted for. Whatever that is, what an amazing thing. That's our job, is to identify that and put our kids in a position, or whoever it is in this relationship, even in a church. You come in, and you know, God has a gift for you. You need to identify that gift as a spiritual parent. Identify that gift and let you go wild, hog wild on that, and see your vision take fruit in that area. That's what this verse is saying here. We stifle our kids. We really put them in a position of anxiety. I myself have been guilty of this in the past with my own kids. Wanting them to be in a certain area, wanting them to be doing a certain thing, and it wasn't their calling to do that. So that's why it's very important, you know, before you can train someone, you have to identify where their need is, where they need training, where their gifts are. You don't want to put a quarterback in a position of a safety. You know what I'm saying? You want to understand that, and it's so important for that scripture. And so that's what that means. And the next point is this, is the idea of training, and the idea is a process, and the most important thing we could do for our kids is to model that. Any situation, any relationship you're in, is the idea is to model as an example. And this is so important because this sounds like basic stuff, right? But it's so important because anybody can teach, but modeling precedes teaching. If you're not modeling it, if you're just saying something and not, you know, you can say I love you to someone, but if you don't back that up with action, then what good is that? And I see this happening all the time, you know, in relationships, in kid relationships. I see this happening. You know, a parent might say, hey, I love you. You know, like Cats in the Cradle song, right? You know, let's spend time together sometime, kid. And I would be, you know, I interviewed so many thousands of kids. And the big thing that came back is this, is that they say one thing, but they do another. They say one thing, but they do another. Daddy promised that he would come here at 2 o'clock. And this one kid, I've shared this before, but just to pound it home. You know, and that kid, every Saturday, that father had parenting time. And that parent said, I'll be there at 2 o'clock. And that kid was waiting with her fishing rod and gear and all that stuff. And Daddy never showed up. And that little kid in my office just broke down crying because, you know, they had to realize that, you know, this person that's a parent, how can I take confidence in what this person is saying when you're not following through on what they said? You're not following through. Many broken hearts. And many of us can look to examples in our lives where we've had people like that in our lives. Or we could look at maybe our own examples of where we fail in that area. It's the example. And know what kids love more than anything, or anybody for that matter. You look around this church, we're not a perfect church. And that's okay. One guy came to me in the other location, which is going amazingly well, and he said, know what I like about this place? And I said, what? I'm expecting, like, great preacher, you know, a great band or something. He goes, you guys are imperfect. I said, what? I said, you guys are imperfect. I love it here. He says, there's no, you know. I said, can you explain yourself? And he says, you know, one of the phoniest places is a church. I mean, people are so phony. Not you people. None of you people. But some of the, you come in all decked out, you know, yeah, man, I'm all decked out. I'm, you know, I'm holy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then you get home, and it's like, you know how it is. Now, I don't even have to talk to you all. You know exactly what I'm saying. The real you comes out, and so forth, and so on. But what he said to me really made sense afterwards. After I got over the shock, I knew we were imperfect, because we actually call ourselves the imperfect church. No perfect people allowed except Jesus. You know, if you're new here, if you're screwed up and you're new here, you fit right in, right? Because you know, we're imperfect people seeking a perfect God, and God doesn't keep us this way. He changes us, and that's the whole point. But he says, you know what I like about you guys is that you're genuine, and that's hit home, and that hit home is with parenting. So when you're modeling, you're genuine. You don't put on airs. You don't act like you're something you're not. You're just real, and when there's a mistake made, you acknowledge it. And you allow it. I remember one day as a parent, man, Jesse, I guess you can remember this, and Tim, wherever he is. But, I mean, I have a temper sometimes. I used to, not as much. But are you still going to want me as a pastor? But, you know, I don't know. I felt like I was doing so much for the kids, and they're not taking, you know, I felt like they were taking advantage, and they're not grateful and so forth. And I remember I just lost it one day. Even my dog got scared. I have a beagle, Bagel. And he was shaking because I mean, I love this dog, but I felt such a, that made me even more angry because I made the dog all like shaking and conniptions and all. I actually like, I punched a hole in the wall. I took a picture and I threw it across the room and I did a couple cuss words. And I'm not proud of this. Don't get me wrong now. Don't hate on me now either, all right? And I felt so bad, you know? And then another time we were on vacation. I took the kids. I wanted to go on vacation. That's the whole point. I wanted to go on vacation to get close. You ever go on vacation with your family to get close with them and it ends up being a disaster? Like the whole reason you're on vacation, hey, kids, we're going to have an awesome time. We're going to get close. We're going to bond. We're going to have just an amazing time together. And you end up getting into arguments. That's just so crazy. But that's exactly what happened. So one day I see people like, I would love to hear your stories. So we were at this crazy campground called Scrubby Pines, of all places. It sounds like, ew, it's like cockroaches or something. Scrubby Pines. And the campsite, a little cabin, couldn't afford much. We only had this one room cabin with five kids. A real romantic getaway. One room. And anyway, the kids were complaining, and I was all feeling guilty because I couldn't afford anything else in one little room of one little cheap cabin with cockroaches. But we had cable. We had cable. So I, you know, they were complaining. I just, like, I lost it. I, like, said, you guys, you take everything for granted. And I slammed the door so hard on my minivan, boom, that then the minivan door got stuck. It was stuck in there. And, you know. But later on, what are you going to do? Here I am, supposed to be a Christian, supposed to be an example. And I completely, like, lost it all, right? No, I didn't. Because I went to the kids later on, and I said, can you forgive me? Can you have it in your heart to forgive me? You know, parents, we need to learn to humble ourselves. Some of the hardest things to do in any role you're in is to say, I am sorry. It's to be genuine and say, I screwed up. I'm sorry. This is not what I'm supposed to be an example for you. I shouldn't be like this. This is an example, and here I am doing this. Can you please forgive me? And, you know, God loves real. God just loves real. That's the heart of God. David, in the scripture, was an adulterer and a murderer, but God also called him follower after my own heart. Why? Because he was real and genuine. And he was an example. So there's hope. The whole point of this is that, so there's three things. It's a lifetime investment. It's a long haul investment. Hang in there. Identify the gift areas of your kids and let them live out their lives instead of you living your lives through them. Yes, we teach them the scripture, but first we model that through example. And sometimes that biggest example is to be genuine with them. You know, there's going to come a time in your parenting or a time where you're thinking, you know, maybe you are at that point right now where you say, you know, I failed as a parent. You might be having that guilt right now in your heart where you're just feeling, man, if only I could do over again, I would do so many things different right now. There's hope for you in Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke 15:20. There's hope for you. Maybe you're that person. You might have been that person who you feel, you know, you did everything right, but the child still turned out wrong. You know, God's in charge. God is sovereign. I remember, this is funny. I mean, Jesse is a trip. This guy who's getting married in a week. And I found one of his Facebook pictures. And he's crazy. I mean, I found it, and I go, what did I do wrong? I'm like, what happened? And there should be a picture or two up there. And it's going, where did I go wrong? You know, like, what happened? Yeah, this is I think it's a public football game. I'm a pastor. What's going to happen if people see this? Yeah. Where was that thing anyway? A marching band competition. Okay. Hi. You know, a little humor, but the whole point is we leave. It's a long-term investment. We model. You're doing some modeling there, I see. And we trust the Lord for increase. Some of us today, maybe you're at the point today where maybe you had an abortion and you're living through that guilt right now. Well, you know what? There's forgiveness. There's restoration in Jesus Christ. We all need forgiveness. We all need hope. We have an amazing God. No matter where we're through, we're broken people who God is healing and gradually healing us. It's not all at once. It's not always all at once. You hear that story, oh, I was healed. No, you know, parenting is a process. Discipleship is a process. We're all in this crazy family of God, which is amazing, because you have a Savior, and I'm going to go to Luke 15:20 again. You have a Savior who just loves you. I'm going to call the band up now, and we're going to close. But as we begin this series and go through these next 4 weeks, don't tune out if you're not a parent. I'm telling you, there's going to be things here you can apply to all your relationships. You may have got something already. And can we get rid of that thing? Luke 15:20. Luke 15:20. And I could joke with him because he's leaving the house. The idea, I want you to, as you close your eyes, I want you to think about, as I read this scripture to you, let God's love soak in your heart right now. Let his amazing, forgiving heart. All right, you messed up as a parent. All right, you know, you've had parents who were messed up, and you're damaged goods. But you're not damaged goods in God's eyes. He wants to restore. He wants to heal. He wants to cleanse. He wants to forgive. He's there right now for you, and he's looking at you, even if you're a long way off. You may have walked in here, and you're not even a Christian today, but you may have walked in here with a heart that you come here and you're not really even certain why you're coming here, but you have a heart that God is just drawing you. The Heavenly Father's love is drawing you. And so you come here. God is speaking to you today. He loves you where you're at. And that's the only reason we have a church like this. And you could come to him today with all your burdens. And I love that verse, because if you read it further, he goes on and he grabs the child. And you know, in God's eyes, you're just a baby. And it's okay. He says, unless you enter the kingdom as a child, you won't enter it at all. You have to come as a little kid. And that's okay. But think about all the burden in your life, and then just run into the Father's arms now through repentance, saying, Lord, I don't want to live like this. I want a new life. Or whatever burden it is, give it to him. And look at the heart of the Father. He takes the kid. He hugs him in his arms. And he loves on him. There's no accusation. There's no, like, I can't believe you did that. There's no, like, you blew it. Look at the emotion there. There's passion. It's like, my son, who I thought was gone, is now alive. Do you see the heart of Jesus? Do not harden your heart today, Jesus. He loves you. Don't fight the grace of God. Allow him to soak it in. Let him heal your damaged relationships. Let him heal where you're hurt. Why are you taking all this on your own? You don't have to. He loves you. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much, and I pray, Lord, that you would just make your love real to all of us today. Make your spirit real, Lord, that we need a parent desperately, and that parent is you. And we just give him to you. Lord, we give all these people to you. And we pray for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.